Welcome to Sightseeing Japan, the podcast where we explore the land of adorable creatures. I'm Paul Bresson.
And I'm Jason Neeling. Hey, Paul.
Yeah?
As a sports guy, I imagine you've had some experience with mascots, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've witnessed a lot of these things?
Yeah.
I feel like in the U.S., sports events are kind of the only place that you see a lot of mascots, right? That and cereal boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess corporate mascots aren't unheard of, like the Energizer Bunny could be considered a mascot.
Sure, sure.
But, I don't know, we just, in the U.S., we don't take mascots quite as far as they do in Japan. But tell me, what's your experience been with mascots? Because I feel like I don't know, the concept of mascots doesn't really ever cross my mind as an American.
Yeah, I mostly think about them at sporting events. Like, I went to some Timberwolves playoff games, and Crunch, their mascot.
What is Crunch?
He's a wolf.
Crunch? Like, he's crunching his jaws? Is that the idea?
I don't know crunching where something? He got that name, to be honest with you. He doesn't wear pants, but he's a wolf, so that's okay.
No Red Rocket?
No. But he takes it to the next level in the playoffs. Like, he's climbing, like, a 50-foot ladder behind the basket to like bang a drum to get all the crowd going. He was like ascending up to the rafters and unfurling banners. It was fun.
Is this all happening while the game is happening, or
during timeouts?
Okay.
Yeah,
he isn't distracting the players or anything by doing weird stuff.
He does sometimes beat the drum during gameplay, like when the home team's on defense. They'll beat the drum and you chant like defense in unison.
Okay. You had a Wolves season pass, right?
Yes, I had half season tickets. So I went to every other home game.
Cool.
It was great.
What about with baseball? Are there a lot of mascots you see?
Oh, they all have a mascot, yeah. Twins is TC Bear.
Wait, Bear?
Yeah, he's a bear? He's a bear.
Why am I imagining like a guy with a giant baseball for a head? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I can't remember.
The Mets?
Yeah, the Mets. You're right.
Wow, I can't believe I remember that.
The Philly Fanatic is probably the most famous.
He's the fuzzy one, right?
Yeah.
I think I've seen him.
That's mostly what I think of when I think mascots. It's almost exclusively related to sports.
Yeah. They're limited in scope in the United States, I would say.
Yeah. And in Japan, they're unlimited.
Yeah, if you haven't figured it out, we're talking about mascots in Japan. And they do have sports mascots, like we do, but that's not quite what we're talking about today. That's not the topic of our episode, because in Japan, the most common type of mascot is something called yurukiara. They can represent almost anything from specific events to organizations to corporations, or it seemed like to some people, corporation mascots are in a different category.
Yes, they're too professional.
Yeah. Even the Japanese Navy has a mascot, though. That's crazy to me. There's a prison with a mascot.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But I think most commonly they are created to promote a specific place.
Yes. As in city or region or prefecture.
Or even a specific attraction. Could be.
Yeah.
Or, for example,
a ward within a city.
A ward? You found wards with mascots?
Yeah. Like Shinjuku.
Does Shinjuku have a mascot?
I think they even had a mascot for a part of Shinjuku.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I climbed Mount Moiwa in Sapporo, I met the mountain's mascot.
Okay.
His name was Morris.
I think I remember seeing some pictures of Morris.
Yeah, I met him up at the peak when I got to the top, and I bought a Morris mug that I still use now, 10 years later, for my tea that I drink at work.
Wow.
Yep. So, Paul, what do you think, what would you say all these mascots share, like, in their characteristics? What kind of links them together?
Well, they tend to go for the cute aesthetic. Kawaii. I'm so bad
Hawaii?
With this word.
Hawaii?
Kawaii. Kawaii. I know when we did the kawaii episode, all the Japanese people were like, Paul says it's so bad.
I don't think anyone called you out specifically. I think we both kind of were just being like kawaii.
Yeah.
But actually, I did want to address that because the Japanese word is kawaii. like K-A-W-A-I-I. So you got to stretch out the I a little bit, and you got to make sure you're really enunciating that A, kawaii.
I'm just not good at saying words cutely. You got to say the word cutely.
I don't know if that's
kawaii.
I don't know if that's a requirement, but I think what we were doing was we were saying kawaii, and that sounds like kawaii.
Yeah.
I kept cutting it a little short. Not kawaii. Yeah. And kawaii means scary.
Yeah.
Which means exactly something very different. So like if you walk up to somebody with a baby in a stroller and you're like, oh man, that baby is super kawaii. They're going to be like, how dare you?
Yeah. So beyond the cuteness, an unsophisticated design is a key element. That's where the corporate mascots are too slick to be
produced.
In this category.
Totally.
And they often incorporate motifs that represent the local history or culture or produce of an area that they're representing.
Yeah, there's something relating it to the local area. It could be a piece of their history, like a samurai helmet or something, or it could be a specialty food. It could be all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Their design is usually in the chibi style, which means that they have giant heads and little bodies, which is supposed to make them extra kawaii. But to me, that makes them a little kawaii because it's usually like full-grown adults in these costumes. So when you got an adult height person and then they have this giant head on top of them, they end up like really big. And that strikes me as not as cute and a little intimidating.
I don't know, but the portions, the huge head, the stubby little arms and legs that they're waddling around in, it's cute. You're thinking too hard.
I mean, I get it, but...
You can't think about the person inside. You got to take it at face value.
I think it might be that I'm not used to seeing people much taller than me, you know?
Okay.
When I'm walking around in my daily life, there aren't many people I come across that are taller than me. And when I see a mascot and I can't look them in the eye, you know, they kind of got like, you know what I mean? It's like when somebody's wearing sunglasses and you can't really connect with them because it's like, oh, man, like I can't see your eyes. There's something in me that doesn't quite trust you. That's how I feel with mascots.
Okay. You've offended a lot of sunglass wearers, but no, I know what you mean. Like, especially if you're having a face-to-face, one-on-one talk, like a foot or two away from someone and they're wearing sunglasses and you can't see their eyes at all. I always get the vibe that they're like, yeah, whatever. I'm not really paying attention to you,
totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't get that from mascots.
Or if you see somebody with the really reflective sunglasses where it's like a mirror,
yeah.
I know they're just wearing those so they can look at my boobs.
But then I get distracted because I'm like looking at myself in there. And oh, wait, what were we talking about?
Right. Anyway, another thing, I really like that the mascots all kind of have personalities. Like, it's not just they have a different look. There are backstories for each one of them. They'll have a hobby or just like some weird origin story. And we have examples later on, but I think that's really cool that they're fully formed characters, you know? So I don't know about you, Paul, but I think these mascots are pretty awesome.
Yeah, me too. I'm becoming more and more of a mascot fan.
Good. Because in this episode, we're going to talk about how and why these mascots became such a big thing in Japan, what they're all about. We're going to talk about some notable examples, maybe some of our favorite mascots. I hope you found some good ones, Paul.
I found a few good ones.
All right. We'll see how much overlap there is. I'm curious.
Yeah.
And we even have a controversy section for this episode. I bet you weren't expecting that, but...
So where's that name Yuruchara coming from?
Yuruchara? Is that what you meant?
You know what? The thing is, I've seen it spelled a couple different ways.
I noticed that too, actually.
So,
yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, we can call it Yuruchara.
So the word Yuruchara is, of course, a portmanteau because Japan loves smashing words together. And the words that they're smashing together are Yurui and Kyarakta, or character. Paul, what does the word Yurui make you think of? Is that familiar to you at all?
Yuru camp.
Okay.
Laid back camp.
I think it was the
English translation.
Yeah. I thought you said before you were a fan of Yuru Yuri.
What's that?
No? It's an anime about girls being cute and liking each other. Could have sworn that you'd said you liked that one.
I mean, I like girls love anime, but I don't recall that specific title.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was one of the more well-known ones in that genre.
I guess I missed it.
Well, anyway, yuri can mean laid back, like you said, it's often translated that way, or chill, but it can also have the connotation of being kind of unsophisticated or frivolous or just not serious, which is accurate for these mascots, right?
Yeah.
It's almost kind of admitting that they're silly and low budget and not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, that's part of their cuteness, though.
Yeah, I think it could be seen as a kind of a criticism of them, but I think it just adds to their charm, personally.
Yeah.
They're also usually designed by amateur local artists, which I think is kind of cool. They don't have that corporate polish. It makes them fun and relatable.
Yeah.
So that's the yurui part. And then the second part is obvious, characters. Kyarakta, shortened to kyara, their characters. This term was coined in the early 2000s, and it kicked off a real mascot boom, apparently. But mascots date back to before that, right, Paul? I saw they started to become more common in Japan during the 1980s.
Yes.
Did you have any other history about them?
No, not before that.
Okay. I also came across another term in my research, Gotochi Kyara. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did. That's a subsection of the Yuru Kyara. And these are specifically ones that promote a local area.
Exactly. All right, so we know that these things exist. But why? What do they do? What the heck are they spending all their time with?
There is a number of things they do, but I think we can start with advertising. Generally, they want to raise the profile, maybe generate tourism or economic development to an area.
And to do that, they can show up in all sorts of things. They can show up at festivals. They can show up at promotional events, maybe grand openings for local businesses even.
Mm-hmm.
You might see them on TV. And of course, they're going to act all cutesy. They're going to take pictures with fans. They're just going to be, you know, fun and lively and gather people's attention.
Yep.
Most of them never talk, right?
Yes.
I thought that was
interesting.
Like, I saw that a lot of them will have kind of an assistant that talks for them.
Oh, okay.
And it occurred to me that, like, the people that are playing these characters, the people in the costumes, must be pretty good at miming.
Yeah, it definitely takes skill to do this.
Totally. Like, you have to be open and friendly and warm without being able to say anything or even, you know, use facial expressions. It is an impressive skill. Paula, you're not a Disney guy. You've probably never... Or wait, you went to Disneyland. You've been to Disneyland, right?
Yes.
Did you interact with any of the characters there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I wasn't really interested. But yeah, they walk around the park and you can take pictures with them and whatnot.
I remember going to Disney World as a kid with my family and like it was cool how each character had a personality that they expressed just through their body language and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see them like interacting with kids, especially the way that they kind of make them comfortable and stuff. It's impressive. Anyway, other places you can see mascots. On the sides of buses, or taxis, or airplanes. All sorts of vehicles. Mailboxes, perhaps. There could be statues of them. I remember seeing Hikonyan all over the place. He was definitely represented in stone.
Yeah. Mascots are also used to sell souvenirs and merchandise, like my Hikonyan shirt that I got. I also got a Hikonyan coaster.
Nice.
I got a bunch of little charms. You picked up some stuff.
Charms and buttons and got pins.
Yeah. Coffee mug, teacup, keychains, plushies and stuffed toys.
Yep. You know, I kind of wish I had started collecting mascot merch from all the places I've been to in Japan.
Because
I've seen so many.
That would be kind of cool to have all the local mascots from all the little cities you've been to.
Yeah. Is it too late to start now?
No. Never too late. It'll just give us another reason to go back to all those places.
Yeah.
There's also more adult-orientated things. I've seen like sake branded with a local mascot for the area, or like a credit card that's got like Kumamon on or something.
Totally. Paul, have you visited any social media accounts of any of these mascots?
Cheetahn.
Oh, yeah. Do you follow Cheetahn?
Yes.
Cheetahn's pretty great. We're going to talk about Cheetahn a little later. We got a whole section probably, right?
Yeah.
No, I have a bunch of notes.
Yeah, I got a few things.
But yeah, you know, they express their personality through their social media. A lot of mascots even have their own like personal dance routines or songs related with them that'll show up on their social media or in person if they appear. You might see them dancing.
Yeah.
Mascots can even show up in video games, Paul.
Yes.
I remember in one of the Yakuza games, I believe it was Yakuza 6, takes place in Onomichi, and there's a mascot, Onomichio, who has an orange for a head, and then there's a bowl of Onomichi ramen balancing on his head, too. But that's not even the real mascot of Onomichi, Paul. The real one is Nyamon, which I talked about in one of our trip recap episodes when I went to Onomichi. That's the cat-lemon hybrid.
There was a 2014 game called Local Railway, A Journey Through Japan with Gotochi Kiara. Yeah, there we go. Gotochi Kiara. That was released on Nintendo 3DS and the Wii U. I also saw just today, I saw an advertisement on Twitter for a new game that's coming out where you play a retired Yakuza that is running a local mascot agency.
That sounds awesome.
And the mascot for the game is a severed finger.
Wait, the game has a mascot?
Yeah, they create a mascot for the game.
But it's not in the game?
I think it's in the game, too.
Okay. Is it? But it's not the mascot for this mascot agency or whatever?
I'm not sure. I haven't played the game yet. It just was released like this week,
what,
I think.
What platforms?
I think it's mobile.
Really?
It might be other stuff, too.
Man, I've been seeing so many cool like Japan-related games coming up lately, but they're all like only on Steam for PC, seems like.
Yeah, maybe it is a Steam thing.
Yeah.
You got to get a PC, bro.
Have you heard about the game where you're just like, you're just working at a kombini? Like, that's the game?
I haven't seen one that's like Japanese, but I've seen, there's all sorts of you know, there's like grocery store simulator. Like,
did you say Simulina?
Simulator.
I swear I just heard you say Simulina.
Maybe I did. I mix my words up sometimes.
That's okay, Paul. I do too.
I've been playing the card shop simulator game. That's fun.
Like baseball cards?
No, like trading cards. Like it's like a fake Magic the Gathering type of game.
Oh.
And you build your store up.
Fake cards?
They created a trading card game for this game.
Okay.
It's fun, trust me.
I'll have to. Yeah, I believe you. Anyway, so Paul, I saw that there have even been new festivals and events created specifically for mascots. There's a Yuru Kiara Matsuri that happens at various places. Some mascots even go international, and they show up at expos all over the place.
Yep.
Paul, did you hear about the Yuru Kiara Grand Prix?
Oh, yeah. That began in 2010, and it's an annual event where the most popular mascot in Japan is determined by public voting.
I saw that in 2023 it was renamed Yuruverse, and now it's a hybrid in-person and VR event. And they even partnered with an AI company to bring mascots to VTubing, Paul. That's like your favorite thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen any mascot VTubers yet?
I believe Sony has a VTuber, and I know Crunchyroll has a VTuber.
Wait, what? Those are corporate mascots, though. I thought we were talking about Yuru Kiara.
Those are the ones I know. You asked if I knew any VTuber mascots. Those are the ones I know.
Okay. Are they, now that I'm thinking about, like, the VTuber thing specifically means that they're, like, digital characters, right?
Yeah.
Like the mascots they're not people with big felt heads on.
No.
That wouldn't be VTubing.
It would not be.
Okay. I was just imagining like some really creepy low budget mascot suit kind of thing, streaming from like an unfinished basement with a single light bulb swinging above their head or something.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Japan has at least two Guinness World Records involving mascots. The largest mascot dance took place in 2013 at the Hustenbosch theme park, and it was 134 mascots dancing together.
A synchronized dance. They had to be in sync for it to count, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Did you see the video?
I think so. I saw a tiny clip of it. Okay. That Hustenbosch place is that Dutch theme park in Nagasaki Prefecture. We've talked about that before. Yeah, I want to go there.
There was also the largest gathering of mascots ever, 376 mascots.
That sounds like a breakable record, I think.
Maybe, but like we were just talking about in the U.S., like mascots, what colleges have mascots and sports teams have mascots. Like,
I'm not saying the U.S. could break it. I'm just saying in Japan,
you could break it. Yeah,
they could do better than that.
But Japan already has the record.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it. It could be more impressive. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That was at the fourth annual Yurukyara Summit in Hanyu, by the way, in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Saitama Prefecture. I got one more record for you, Paul.
Okay.
I really like this one. The largest ever gathering of the same mascot was in 2017 in Yokohama. It was 775 of the same mascot gathered there.
What?
775 of the same mascot. So I guess the last one you mentioned must have been like, it had to be 376 mascots, different mascots.
Yeah. Well, what mascot was it?
This is the best part. It was Famichiki Senpai.
No.
It's a Family Mart mascot. That's got to be the most delicious mascot out there too.
Well, I could see why so many people were into it then.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
What were they doing?
They just gathered. I don't know. That's all I have
gathered
about it.
Gathered and ate Fabi-Cheeky.
Yeah. Or maybe they all got eaten by the crowd.
Did you see that in 2024, the Vatican released an anime-inspired mascot called Lucy?
I remember hearing about that.
She's really cute.
I believe it. I don't know. It kind of rubs me the wrong way, though. A religion co-opting the whole anime thing.
Sure, sure. I liked the fan art, though, because they had, like, this really cute anime girl, like, defeating demons and stuff. Like, people went wild with it. It was pretty fun.
Man, I bet the Rule 34 stuff about that has got to be pretty wild.
Oh, no. I can't. I can't ever look.
So, Paul, what is it about Japan specifically that makes them so susceptible to mascot fever?
Like most things, I think it's a number of factors. Honestly, I think the kawaii culture, the culture of cuteness, is probably the biggest driving factor that these are cute mascots. People like cute things. But I saw some other theories. I saw it even tied to maybe Shinto beliefs about there being spirits in everything. So they're more open to creating emotional bonds with non-human characters.
I saw that theory too. And I think it makes some sense.
It's not something I would have come up with on my own, but like there's some really smart scholars out there thinking about this stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've talked many times before about how Japanese mythology includes all sorts of yokai and kami and all these spirits kind of floating around. And a lot of mascots actually draw directly upon those ideas. Like there are mascots based on a certain yokai, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I think that kind of leads into another part of it where with all the local representation in these mascots, Japan does a really good job of trying to hold on to their local culture. So they're really proud of that mascot that shows off the local produce or the local crafts or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool that it personifies a certain place and gives the residents there something to rally around and kind of identify with, give them some local pride. I feel like it's the same reason that a lot of Japanese companies have all of their employees wearing matching uniforms. You know, it builds a sense of community, a sense of cohesion. And especially since a lot of the designs are very childish and cutesy, like imagine growing up and having this friendly mascot for your town. Like, I feel like that could contribute to feelings of hometown pride, that kind of thing. Especially with smaller towns dying out in a lot of places, like coming up with a mascot might give people a way to feel a certain way that might make them want to come back and stick around.
Sure.
Now I'm kind of thinking if there are like rivalries where little kids are talking to like kids in the next town and they're like, our mascot's better. Our mascot could beat up your mascot.
Or in Japan, would it be like, our mascot's cuter than your mascot?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You mentioned Hikonyan. I was surprised to see that Hikonyan is credited with starting the Yurukiara boom since it was created in 2007.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
So popular that everyone decided to copy.
Yep. Another idea I saw in my research is that, like, especially when we're talking about really cutesy characters related to serious companies or government agencies, like, that might seem really weird to the Western world, right? Especially, I mentioned there's a prison, at least one prison, that has a mascot. That yeah. seems, like, weird and almost dystopian, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
But according to a famous modern artist named Takashi Murakami, in Japan, there's no distinction between high art and low art, he said. I thought this was an interesting concept. He said that the Japanese think it's weird how pretentious high art is in the West.
I'm with him 100%.
Yeah, I remember you saying stuff like this about like art museums, right? You walk into an art museum and it's not relatable at all. It's like, oh, these are right. some famous artists from hundreds of years ago.
Some dude will be like, I painted this with my butt cheeks. It's worth $3 million. And I'll be like, I don't get it, dude. I don't get it.
Oh, well, that's modern art. I was imagining more like impressionism and stuff. It's like, I don't know, like unless you're into art history or you know some famous artists, like it's just not as accessible to the general public, right? Like it's seen as classy and highbrow and not everybody likes that kind of stuff. But in Japanese culture, it's not as unusual for more relatable art styles and really cutesy stuff to be associated with pretty much anything. Like it's not considered immature or juvenile like it might be in the West. And that cuteness can make those more serious institutions like the Navy or police or prisons more accessible and less scary. Like I think we even mentioned in the kawaii episode how cute mascots for police might make kids more comfortable approaching them for help, stuff like that, right?
Sure.
I wanted to mention too, if anyone's interested in checking out that kawaii episode, despite our pronunciation issues, I think it was a pretty fun
yeah.
and good episode. That was episode 70, if you want to check it out.
I gotta wonder though about like the armed forces. You know, like, this, like, 18-year-old, like, oh, yeah, I joined because I thought your mascot was really cute. Like, is that who they want?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good for public relations, I'm sure. It's someone they can send to an event, you know, to go represent them and not scare people.
Yeah, I don't know. When it comes to the military, I don't know. It's I have like, a lot of feelings about
conflicting. What's the Air Force mascot? His head's in the shape of a bomb. You know, like, I don't know.
Like, even the police. I mean, in America, we have a certain type of relationship with the police.
What
I
about,
think,
like,
where it just wouldn't work. But
McGruff the crime dog?
Oh, man, I forgot about him. Wow, the police do have a mascot.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
He was big in the 90s.
Well, I feel like the trust in the police has deteriorated a lot since then, so maybe it makes sense that we haven't seen as much of him lately.
Yeah, he's...
And now it seems like kind of a weird idea.
He's laying low right now. Yeah. Smokey the Bear.
Smokey was cool. I'm down with Smokey.
He's still around.
Yeah? You see him?
Yeah, he's commercials still.
Commercials?
Yeah.
Where are you seeing Smokey the Bear commercials? Well, they're PSAs, really.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably watching sports games or something.
Okay. Well, another reason that mascots are around is they can be extremely lucrative.
Oh, yeah.
You got any stats on that?
I have one that Hikonyan has raised tourism by 200,000 people annually for Hikone. okay, which is, you know, a fairly small city.
I got some more stuff about Hikkonan that I'm going to save because I wanted to talk a bunch more about Hikkonan. And I was seeing a bunch of stats, too, for, like, each mascot that I researched. Like, they all had their different stats about how much money they had made for the local area and stuff.
Okay.
But generally, I saw that character-driven sales are nearly $16 billion in Japan. And that number is from 2012, as far as I can tell. I kept seeing it repeated in much more recent articles, but I couldn't find anything, you know, that was definitely newer. But I imagine that number has got to be even higher now.
You'd think so. I saw a few of those, though, but I was always unclear of, like, does this include, like, the Hello Kitty type stuff?
I wondered that, too.
Is this, like, just the local mascots? Either way, that's huge business. Like, that's crazy amount of money.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of imagine, I think the wording that I saw was character-driven sales. But if that included every single character for every single media franchise, it would have to be higher, right?
I don't know. I mean, billion's a lot. 12 billion? What did you say, 12 billion?
16 billion.
16 billion? I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, but wait till we get to, like, specific characters and how much money each of them has made. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I guess that stat is kind of useless with all those caveats. I don't know exactly what that means, but we got some more stats coming up. All right, now I think this is going to be the most fun part of the episode, right, Paul?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's just talk about some really fun mascots.
Okay.
I think each of us has a list, and we're going to do one of those things where we just kind of trade off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you can go first.
Oh, I get the honors. I thought Sanomaru was kind of cool.
Not on my list. What's that one about?
Sanomaru is a samurai dog mascot from Sano City in Tochigi Prefecture. It's a huge, fuzzy, white puppy with kind of like the cute, adorable type face. But what makes him so interesting to me is the way he represents the local foods. His hat is an upside-down ramen noodle bowl.
Like he's got the noodle, the broth dripping down his face?
Like he's got a couple noodles like dripping down. That he's kind of like on a little bit of skew. Okay. It looks really cool.
Like somebody just dumped a bowl of ramen on
his
head?
Yeah, like he just threw it on his head and it's like cocked funny.
Seems and like a waste of ramen, but okay.
Then he carries fried potato skewers as a sword, kind of like in his sword belt.
Okay, that's
what gives him the samurai look.
Sure.
You know.
Is he wearing other samurai garb?
Not that I recall. Like, I don't think he's got a jacket on or anything, or kimono.
Okay.
And obviously, ramen and fried potato skewers are the town's food specialties.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
Did you have Hikkonan on your list? Did you have more
of course.
Details? Okay. Can we share this one and then I'll pick another one after it?
Sure.
Okay. So as I said, Hikkonan is said to have started the mascot boom in 2007. He represents the city of Hikone and he's adorable. I said after we visited this city that he's now my favorite mascot. He's a white cat with a bell around his neck. And he wears the samurai helmet of I Naotaka, the daimyo who built Hikone Castle in the early Edo period. And the helmet has these big horns and looks really cool.
Yeah, huge horns. It's a really distinctive helmet.
Yeah, it's a really nice helmet.
Hikkonan is said to be inspired by the legend of a white cat who saved Lord I. I always think that's such an interesting name, like the I.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
But anyways, he saved Lord I Naotaka by inviting him inside a temple to shelter from a terrible storm and apparently saving him from a lightning strike.
It must have struck right where he was standing before the cat was like...
That's what I was kind of wondering. Like, how did they know the lightning would have got him?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cool story.
It is a fun story. You already mentioned the stat that Hikkonan's popularity boosted tourism in Hikone by over 200,000 people per year.
Yeah.
But I also saw that his estimated effect on the tourist industry is about $218 million, and the overall economic effect is estimated at $425 million.
Per year?
I don't know.
Okay. Either way, that's a lot of money.
That's just how I saw it written.
Okay. Yeah, people are always so unspecific about stats they put
online.
I know.
It's really frustrating to me. You
know, yeah.
Stats can be so misleading, too, if you don't have all the details of where exactly they came from and how they were obtained. But we're just reporting what we found.
Yeah.
But, Paul, when we were in Hikone, we saw Hikonyan in person, right?
Yeah.
We were, like, in the castle, and I remember seeing his horns on the other side of a wall. And I was like, Paul, it's Hikonyan. Let's go check him out. And Paul was like, I think you were scared to go up to him. So we didn't chase him down. Does that sound right?
Yeah, except scared. I don't know if scared is the right word.
I'm pretty sure that's what you said. You're like,
what am I going to do with a mascot?
Get a picture with him, obviously.
I don't care about getting pictures with people.
Oh, man.
I just want to buy all his merch.
He's not a person, Paul. He's an adorable white cat with a samurai helmet. Who wouldn't want a picture with that?
Me, apparently.
Well, I'm going to start collecting character merch and character pictures. And if you don't want to be in them, you can be the one taking them.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to wait in line with Jason for like an hour to get a picture with a mascot.
That's right.
It's going to be me, Jason, and like 150 Japanese kids.
They're not just kid things. I'm pretty sure we saw some adults hanging out with Hikonyan.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just having fun.
So this next one, if you have this on your list, can we share this one? And then I also get to pick another one after this.
Okay.
You have Kumamon?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
He's extremely popular. This guy represents Kumamoto Prefecture in Kyushu. He was created in 2010 to increase tourism in Kumamoto after the Kyushu Shinkansen line was completed.
He's a black bear with red rosy cheeks. Small pupils. He's kind of got like an open mouth.
He's got a real dopey look on his face.
Yeah, dopey. That's a great way to describe it.
He kind of reminds me of like Tanuki, the way that they're often represented. Like you can tell this guy's not too bright.
I can see that.
But he's also hilarious.
He might be the most popular mascot in Japan.
Yeah. Like before I even knew much about Japanese mascots, I recognized this guy. Like I would see pictures and be like, I've seen this bear before, but I don't know where or why or what he's about.
Something about the design. People just like it. Like, he's just adorable.
Yeah. Well, another reason for that, it's really interesting. Unlike most mascots, his image can be used license-free.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Like, he's popular worldwide, partially because just anybody can start selling Kumamon products. As long as they promote goods and services from the prefecture.
Yeah.
So, Paul, I think we need to start making some Sightseeing Japan merch using Kumamon's image. What do you think?
Okay.
You know what I always liked? I've seen other podcasts that like make challenge coins. You know what I'm talking about?
No. What are you talking about?
They're just like little themed coins. I don't know. The challenge coin concept comes from military or something. They're just like, they're coins, but they're not currency. They're just like things that link a group of people together, if you know what I mean.
Okay. I don't understand the challenge part of the name, but I understand what a coin is.
Well, now I need to Google it.
Okay. But I understand what a coin is. Yeah, I hope I understand what a coin is.
Okay. According to Google's AI, a challenge coin is a small metal medallion that symbolizes membership, affiliation, or achievement in a specific group. They've been a military tradition since World War I and are now also used by police, fire departments, blah, blah, blah. The name challenge coin stems from a military tradition known as the coin check. This is actually interesting. So the way it works is someone initiates a challenge by presenting their challenge coin by placing it on a table or a bar. Like maybe you're all drinking out together and somebody pulls out the challenge coin. And then other people that are present are challenged to produce their own challenge coin within a certain time frame, like 15 seconds. And if you don't pull out your challenge coin, you have to buy a round of drinks or a meal for the challenger. And if everyone being challenged successfully produces their coin, the person who initiated the challenge has to buy the round of drinks.
Oh, okay.
Or the meal.
Well, I get it now. That's also brilliant marketing. You don't want to be the one without the coin. Yeah. You'll end up paying for everything.
I mean, I don't think anybody actually does the challenge, but a lot of podcasts make these coins just as like rewards for patrons or whatever. You know, I think it'd be fun to like design one.
Okay.
And get some. And we could have like our logo on one side and then Kumamon on the other side being like,
go to Kyushu's Kumamon.
Great. Yeah.
We would just be pulling them out on each other.
Yeah, totally. You got to carry it with you at all times.
We'd be out grabbing some sake. I'd be like, boom, challenge coin.
That would be fun, but I think you'd be in trouble because, as you know, I'm always wearing my Japanese denim with the little coin pocket, and I always have a coin in that pocket.
My wallet has a coin purse.
Okay, well, I guess it's official. We're making challenge coins.
Have we talked about the names? I don't even know if we talked about Hiko Nyan's name, did we?
Oh, I guess we didn't.
So, Kumamon. Kuma is bear, right?
Yes.
And Kumamoto, so that's kind of a play on those two words. And then Hiko Nyan is a representative of Hikone City, and Nyan is the sound of a cat meow.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Yeah. It's just the Japanese version of meow.
A lot of the names will be like this. They'll incorporate the local place plus some other part of its character and kind of mash it together as
totally
the Japanese like to do.
I mentioned in Onomichi, they got Nyamon, which is putting together the Nyan because he's a cat, and Mon from lemon because he's also a lemon. He's a lemon cat.
Nice. All right, so now you get to pick another one.
I got one more thing about Kumamon.
Okay.
Have you seen the meme?
I don't know what you mean by the meme.
There's this famous meme where Kumamon is standing in front of a huge bonfire, and the caption says, "Why? For the glory of Satan, of course." And then he's raising up his hands to the sky.
Oh, I don't think
so. You haven't seen that?
At least not with that caption.
All right, let me look it up. Googling a lot of things this episode. Paul just doesn't know things about modern culture.
Haven't spent quite as much time on Reddit as Jason lately.
You know, I wonder sometimes if all these things rolling around in my head are like things that are in everybody else's head, or if I just spend way too much time on the internet.
Man, I don't think I've seen that. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the one of the little girl, you know, in front of the burning building.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, it is pretty similar, but.
Okay. I like it.
All right, the next mascot, Paul, Funashi.
Ah, yes.
Oh, you got that one on your list, too?
I do.
All right, so I get to pick another one after this, huh?
Yeah, keep going until you get a free one.
So Funashi represents, unofficially, the city of Funabashi, which is in Chiba Prefecture. Funabashi is known for its pears. So the mascot is a genderless magical pear fairy.
I get the pear part. I get the pear part. I love how they just and a fairy.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
That seems kind of random. I like this part too. So, like we said earlier, most mascots don't talk or make any noise at all. But Funashi, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I need to get through the sentences. Funashi apparently communicates through high-pitched screeching as well as headbanging. That mental picture is hilarious to me. Like, you just say, "Oh, hey, Funashi, how's it going?" And it just starts screaming and headbanging.
It was the name that attracted me to this one first. I couldn't figure out how to say the name.
Yeah, it is an unusual one. Oh, man. I also like, apparently it does actually say words sometimes besides just screaming.
Yeah.
You seen that part? Sometimes it screams, "Nashi Jirubusha," which, what does that translate to, Paul?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
It means I'm exploding with pear juice.
I think more mascots should talk, dude.
Oh, man. I'm crying from laughing. Yeah, they should all just scream ridiculous things.
I suppose you gotta get an actor inside that fits the voice then. I sometimes wonder about, you get these like super cutesy mascots and it's like a 45-year-old guy inside that like practices cutesy dances in his garage at night. You know?
You know what I was wondering? Maybe I should have dug deeper in my research for this, but I was wondering, like, I want to know more about the people that play the mascots. Mm. Is it the same person? Like, okay, I imagine at Hikone Castle, right? It's got to be the same person. That's like their full-time job, is to show up at the castle every day dressed up like that.
Yeah.
But is there a Hikonyan that shows up other places that's played by somebody else? Or does the same person go to different places on the weekends? Or like,
that's a great question.
I want to know.
I did see a documentary once about like Division I college mascots here. It's always like a college kid.
Yeah.
And it's like fierce competition. It was crazy. It was a wild ride.
I remember listening to a podcast where they talked to somebody that was a mascot for like a college sport or something.
Yeah.
And he talked about how it like, it gave him freedom to like express himself in a different way than he ever would in his normal life. You know, like once you put on this costume and you become this character, like you have so much more confidence because it doesn't reflect on you at all as a person. It's just this character and you can do all this crazy stuff that you would never do.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was really interesting, yeah, this interview.
I feel like I resonate with that as someone who's like uptight in person. You know, like I feel like if I put on the dumb costume, I'd feel so much more free to just like run around like an idiot, in which I would never do with my face showing.
Dude, Paul, you have the authority. I think you should make a mascot for your workplace. And like, but don't tell anybody who's in the costume. You can just like change in the back room, pop out, do your thing. And then, you know, if somebody asks you about it, you can be like, oh yeah, we hired a guy to be a mascot.
We won an avocado display contest once and got an avocado suit. But the problem was there was a cutout for the face. So like just your face was sticking out and then your whole was an avocado and then your legs were like poking out the bottom.
No, you need something that hides your face for sure.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where like, I'm not a talkative person at all. Like you put me in a party with a bunch of people I don't know, I'm just going to stand in the corner and drink. But if you tell me, like, oh, you have to go make a speech on this thing in front of 200 people, I've got zero problem because I'm supposed to be there and I'm supposed to be talking, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Sure. Yeah, it is funny, like the psychological stuff that happens when you just present yourself in a different way than usual. I feel like just as something as simple as having like a Halloween mask can really change the way that you kind of act and present yourself to the world, or even... Didn't I bring up sunglasses before? Oh, yeah, the hiding behind the sunglasses. Like, I feel more confident when I'm wearing sunglasses because I know other people can't see my eyes. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. Like, it's this subconscious kind of thing.
I just know I look cool.
I don't know. It's weird. Anyway.
So to get back to Funashi for a second here, to explain the name, Nashi means pear, and Funabashi is the city that it represents.
Yep. I also found some really fun lore about Funashi.
Okay.
His parents are just normal pear trees, and it's the fourth of 274 children.
Okay.
Apparently, there's something about 274. You can pronounce that as Funashi.
Mm-hmm.
And its birthday is the 4th of July. And as of this year, 2025, it is 1,887 years old. Also fond of metal music, thus the headbanging.
The screaming and the headbanging, okay. Yeah.
And his favorite food is peaches, so it's apparently also a cannibal. No, peaches, not pears.
Yeah,
sorry,
my
bad. Unless a fruit eating another fruit is cannibalism.
Different types of fruit.
Okay. Well, one more thing. It's appeared in a lot of media, I saw. It released a musical album last year through Universal Music. It starred in a live-action drama in 2016. I need to see that.
Yeah.
A drama?
A whole record deal with Universal? That's crazy.
I'm imagining, I want to know what this drama is like. A live-action drama. Imagine like these two people in a really serious scene, and then this pear goes screaming by in the background or something, you know?
Pear fairy.
Yeah, magical pear fairy. It also had an anime series.
Wow.
Yep. It was a popular one, apparently. Okay, the next one I got is Melonkuma. Meronkuma.
Mm.
You got that one on your list?
I actually had this one in the controversy section.
Oh. Okay.
But it could go either way.
I don't know. We could save it for that if you want.
Yeah, you brought it up. Let's go.
Okay. Meronkuma is from Yubari City in Hokkaido. Paul, have you heard of that city, Yubari City?
Not that I recall.
That word Yubari doesn't mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. Well, the city is famous for its Yubari melons. You can buy these things all over Hokkaido. It's so famous. Also known for bears. So Meronkuma melon is from the Yubari melons, and kuma means bear, as Paul mentioned earlier. But what's unusual about this mascot is that you might expect like a cutesy little teddy bear type thing, but it's actually a horrifying monster. It's a bear with a melon for a head, but he's also got huge bared fangs and big yellow bloodshot eyes, and he looks like he wants to rip your head off.
Yeah, just a mean expression.
He's scary looking, and apparently at mascot events, he even runs around and attacks other mascots.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
That's creative.
But I also heard that like the kids kick him and punch him and like beat him up because he's being mean.
And then he eats them?
I don't know. I didn't hear about eating any kids.
Well, he sounds pretty fun. I would definitely buy up some Meronkuma.
But that was where I had the controversy, is he's so scary compared to all these other cute mascots.
So like people from Yubari have been complaining about how scary he is, and they need a cuter mascot or what?
Or just people like surprised at seeing such a scary mascot, you know?
I thought about putting that in the controversy section, but I didn't see that anyone was too upset about it. I thought it just seemed like a novel.
Yeah, people do seem to like
it. Usual little thing.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, what do you got? What do you want to pick next?
So next one I got is Gajiro, which is a kappa mascot from Fukusaki City in Hyogo Prefecture. And the reason I like him is because he is incredibly scary looking. Like, he looks like something that just came crawling out of a swamp in a horror movie.
He kind of reminds me of Gremlins, movie Gremlins.
Okay, I can see that. It's got like thin, like long black hair.
You know, I thought this guy looked super familiar when I just Googled it, and it's because Fukusaki is that town that's known for yokai.
Perfect mascot then.
It's the birthplace of Kunio Yanagita, a prominent figure in Japanese folklore studies, and there are a bunch of folklore-themed attractions there.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this mascot rising up out of the water.
Yeah, that's apparently a thing he does, is he jumps out of ponds to scare people.
That's awesome.
That's all I got on him. I just thought he looks so cool.
It is pretty cool. We really got to visit that city, too, and just see all the yokai stuff. I would totally be into that.
We both love the folklore stuff. All right, what you got next, Jason?
Nyango Star.
Okay, I don't have this one.
Oh, man, this is a real fun one. So this one's from Kuroishi, a city in Aomori Prefecture, and I think the design is very clever. He is a hybrid of an apple and a cat. Because apples are a major industry for Aomori Prefecture. And the name is genius, man. Nyango Star, right? So Nyan, as we said, is meow because he's a cat. Ringo is the Japanese word for an apple. So Nyango is cat plus apple. But then Ringo Star was the drummer of the Beatles.
Okay.
So because of that connection, the mascot is also a drummer. And Paul, he's incredible.
Yeah,
he's an amazing drummer. He plays death metal, he does concerts, and has collaborated with various bands, and he has a website where he does cover songs. Seriously, look up a video of Nyango Star on stage. It's amazing.
Okay.
And he does it in costume. Like, I can't believe he's able to move so fast in this giant cat apple
costume. He's doing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Wow.
He also has a fun backstory.
Okay.
He was a cat who died in an apple orchard and was reincarnated as an apple, and now he must become a famous musician so he can turn back into a cat.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Man, I'm definitely going to start collecting mascot merch. I've decided it's happening.
Yeah, there's so many cool ones.
Yeah. Okay, what else you got, Paul?
Next up, I got Annie.
Annie?
Annie, yeah.
Spelled?
Annie. A-N-N-I-E.
Well, that's not a Japanese word.
No, but here's what it comes from. Annie is an Anisakis larvae that struck through the chest with a lightning bolt.
I have no idea what you just said. That sentence, like, I can't even parse it.
So I had to look this up. Anisakis is a parasite
okay.
that can infect humans. So it kind of looks like a white tadpole.
Okay.
It's like this big white thing with a
little
tail. You
know what I think of when you say white tadpole? What else would you describe that way?
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like.
Okay.
But it has a lightning bolt, like, into the back, through the front, like, right through the chest. And it's also got sparks coming up the top of its head. And it has the swirly eyes and a pained expression on its face. And the reason it has all these things is because it's the mascot of Kumamoto University's research project that is using electricity to repel parasites from sushi and other raw foods.
Have they gone too far?
It's one way to get your research out there, right?
Wow. I don't know why it's that one that, like, strikes me as, I don't know, you guys.
You went too far here.
Wow.
It's not even for the university. It's for a specific research project of the university.
You guys should look up a picture of this one. This is pretty interesting. Wow. I don't think I need a picture with that one.
I do.
That's the one?
That's the one. That's the one I'd make an exception for.
Huh. Wow. Okay.
And what do you got next, Jason?
That's all I got before the controversy.
I came in with Annie, and that's not where you thought that was going, I bet.
No, that's not what I was expecting.
I got one more that's maybe half controversial.
Okay. We can ease into the controversy slowly.
Matagi no Momiji-chan.
Okay, Momiji is the Japanese maple. That sounds nice. You said Matagi?
Yes. You look that up?
I got to see what this thing looks like. Okay, I'm seeing a little pink deer, it looks like.
Yep.
Who also seems to be carrying a hunting rifle.
Yes, exactly. It's got angry eyes and a scowl on its face, and it hunts hunters. It got tired of seeing deer get hunted and decided to start hunting hunters. And when it goes around to festivals and stuff, it points its gun at people.
It wouldn't get away with that in the U.S., but I love that that's like a thing that you can do in Japan.
They don't have the same gun violence issues.
Yeah. That's awesome. I really like this one, actually.
Yeah.
Is it controversial in Japan, or are you thinking it's just controversial here? Because
I didn't have it in
pointing?
My controversial, but I was like, yeah, you know, pointing guns at people, borderline, maybe.
I love it.
Me
I don't know
too.
Why. I really like that one.
I'd take a picture if it was pointing the gun at me. That yeah, picture, I do raise my hand.
It looks like short, too. I wonder who's in that one, you know?
I'd be like, dude, I'm a vegan.
Like, this picture makes it look like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
I think what I like about it is that it's like all cutesy and pink, but it's also like...
Got a gun.
Angry and chaotic and violent. Yeah.
Is that moe? Is that like Gap moe?
It's maybe a certain sort of moe.
A different type of...
I think
usual.
I like it for the same reason I like Cheetah, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're getting to the controversies, so what do you got?
Well, I got a whole bunch of stuff about Cheetah, but before that, I just had one little fact here.
Okay.
that in 2014, the Osaka government said there were just too many mascots and it was diluting brand identity. And then apparently everybody just kind of ignored that and went on and kept making mascots. It seemed like.
Yeah, who's Osaka to tell people to stop making mascots?
And I kept seeing that repeated, that like the government said this, like, well, what do you mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Like they put out some thing in the newspaper that's like, you guys, there are too many mascots.
You know how local elections, you get like single issue people, like there's running for city council, and like there's too many mascots. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of all the mascots.
Yeah. I don't know. But okay, I basically, I have like an entire page about Cheetahn here. Like okay. I got a little carried away, but I think it's a fascinating story.
So before you get into that, I got one other one then. Let me get this out of the way.
Yep.
She's called Amazoness.
What?
Amazoness, like Amazon and mistress combined. Amazoness. And she represents Ama City in Aichi Prefecture.
Hold on. This is a Yu-Gi-Oh thing, apparently.
No, yeah. there is a Yu-Gi-Oh thing, but this is, look, mascot. Search Amazonas mascot.
Oh, my. So this is in the controversy section,
yes,
right?
Okay. Exactly.
All right, so I go on. What's
the city's known for its leaks, and Amazonas uses a leak to whip other mascots and patrons at events and on television. And she has a really, like, her image is like caked on heavy makeup and like revealing leather clothing.
Is BDSM wear.
Yeah. So yeah, she's BDSM wear, and she uses a leak as a whip to hit people. And even the name, combining Amazon with mistress, is kind of a little bit risque.
Yeah. The face stuff makes me think of like a wrestler's mask too. I don't know if that's what they're getting at with that.
Maybe. I could see that being a wrestling character.
Yeah, totally.
I saw that one.
Yeah, that's like, totally like a
very unique
dominatrix sort of thing.
Yeah. And that's just like the public mascot for a city.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that they can get away with that.
Right.
The giant teeth too, you know.
It's like, it's not a good looking mascot.
I'm not
right.
I'm not attracted to it.
No.
Even with the bared midriff,
nothing about that mascot is attractive.
No.
All right. Well, now you can geek out about Cheetahn all you want, Jason.
Okay, you're gonna help me, right?
Yeah, I might. I might jump in here.
Do you not have a whole page about Cheetahn?
Not quite.
Okay. Well, Cheetahn is a zero-year-old fairy baby otter that wears a pink turtle for a hat. The turtle's name is Kamechan, and it's pretty great and pretty adorable, but also controversial for a lot of reasons. It's kind of a crazy story. And you'll notice that I'm calling Cheetahn an it, not, I mean, just based on Western gender norms, you might think that Cheetahn is female. Just looking at it, but it's genderless apparently, and every article I saw referred to Cheetahn as an it.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I've used he and she describing some of these mascots.
Well, I think some of them do have a gender.
Yeah, but I don't know if they all do or not. Yeah. I've just been assuming, I guess.
Well, they don't speak, so they can't tell us their pronouns.
True.
But okay, so the story starts here. There's a city in Kochi Prefecture called Tsusaki. And Tsusaki already had a mascot called Shinjo-kun, who is an extinct river otter. But then there was a real-life otter who got really popular. Like, it had a public access TV show. People loved this little otter, right? Do you know the whole story, Paul? Or is this new to you, too?
Not quite that deep. I knew there was another mascot previously.
Okay. Well, Shinjo-kun was the official mascot, but then there was a real-life otter that, I don't know, everybody was crazy about this little otter. So in 2016, the city named the real-life otter Cheetahn and made it its honorary tourism ambassador. Okay? So at this point, there is no Cheetahn mascot. It's just a real-life otter. Then in 2017, the company that produced the content about the real-life Cheetahn otter created a Cheetahn mascot. Fun fact, the person that created the Cheetahn mascot was the same person that created Shinjo-kun, the official mascot.
Okay.
So this new mascot, the Cheetahn mascot, was basically an unofficial mascot for the city. The city did not endorse Cheetahn. Then Cheetahn started to gain massive popularity online by being chaotic and violent. And if you look online for Cheetahn, that's C-H-I-I-T-A-N, you'll find tons of videos of Cheetahn doing all sorts of dangerous things, which I think is absolutely hilarious. Like, it's so much fun to watch, right, Paul?
Yes.
But critics describe these videos as creepy and reckless, among other things, because some people just don't know how to have a good time. So, Paul, do you want to give some examples of the types of things Cheetahn does in these videos?
Just very slapstick, you know, like a lot of things that involve it, like falling over. I think I saw it flipping a car one time, or trying to like shoot a bow and arrow from a bike and like falling over in the process.
Cheetahn's always falling.
Yes.
That's like the end of every video. Is it falling and rolling down a big hill or something?
Yeah.
Or just like falling and just laying there like it died. Pogo sticks are involved sometimes. Skateboards, a lot of skateboards in like really bad places to skateboard. I feel like a lot of the videos are just Cheetahn alone in like a white room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's really kind of bizarre. Like there's just nothing. It's just white walls, four white walls, and then Cheetahn like with a baseball bat smashing something or getting hurt somehow. But it's always smiling. You know, I like that.
Yeah, the expression doesn't change.
Yeah. So that's Cheetahn. And people started getting concerned that Cheetahn was a bad influence on Shinjo-kun, the official mascot of the city. So by January 2019, the city of Susaki had received over 100 complaints about Cheetahn's association with the city. So the city was like, Cheetahn, you're done. We're officially denouncing you. You have nothing to do with this city. And they requested that Cheetahn suspend activities, claiming that it violated a copyright and accusing the company that created Cheetahn of profiting off of it. They even, I don't know why they had to go this far, Paul, but they even revoked the real-life otter's status as honorary tourism ambassador.
That's crazy.
I know. What did the real-life otter do?
Yeah.
But the company that created Cheetahn, the mascot, refused to stop doing things, so the city sued them. And then there was this whole beef with John Oliver. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, John Oliver did like an episode or a big monologue about Cheetahn.
He talked about Cheetahn on a show, and then he ended up making his own mascot otter that he called Cheejohn. And he sent Cheejohn to Susaki to befriend Shinjo-kun, the official mascot. But then Cheetahn is like, what the heck? This Cheejohn guy is stealing my friend Shinjo-kun. So she challenged John Oliver to a no-holds-barred wrestling match. The story gets crazier and crazier.
I love it.
So then at some point in 2019, all of Cheetahn's Twitter accounts were suspended. And not even just the Japanese one, but like all, there were a bunch of Twitter accounts for various languages, and all of them were suspended. Nobody really seems to know why that happened, and Twitter refused to comment on it. But I don't really know what happened with that exactly.
I feel
or,
like it was probably the lawsuits, you'd think.
I didn't see anything about like how the lawsuits ended up either. But these days, like Cheetahn is back on X,
yeah,
which is what Twitter has become.
Got resolved.
And Cheetahn's still going strong.
Over 2 million followers on X.
Nice. Cheetahn has had partnerships with a lot of different companies. In 2023, it appeared on the Takeshi's Castle reboot. That nice. Was pretty great. And very on brand for Cheetahn. I feel like that was a good move.
Right.
It was invited to visit Sanrio Puro Land.
Okay.
Did you know that Cheetahn formed a heavy metal band?
No.
It's called Cheetahn Kiss Loves Rock Band.
Okay, with Funashi?
I don't think there are any other mascots involved. I actually don't know.
Okay.
I should Google, because it seems like Nyango Star would have been a great person to get involved in that.
And they should make a mascot band.
Yeah. There have been Cheaton pop-up cafes. You can buy a Cheaton-themed gaming PC. Did you see that?
No.
That's pretty cool. I kind of want one. There's even a Cheaton cryptocurrency.
Oh, I'm invested in that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Put your whole life savings in there?
Just half.
It's going to take off. Yeah, I don't know. Is Cheaton like the most well-known Japanese mascot outside of Japan, you think?
Possibly. More than Kumamon is still pretty popular.
Yeah. Cheaton might have...
maybe like the biggest cult like following.
A more specific,
you know?
Audience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I find it interesting that the local government there disavowed Cheaton. Because Cheaton's the most popular thing probably to come out of Kochi Prefecture in like 100 years.
And now that they've distanced themselves from Cheaton, nobody knows that it was connected to a city in the first place.
Right,
you know?
Right.
They could have ridden that wave.
I feel like they maybe lost some possible value there.
Yeah. That's all I got about Cheaton.
Same.
I have more controversy, though.
Oh, do you?
Oh, you're done with controversy?
I'm done.
Cheaton was the
I
biggest
had.
Controversy?
Well, that and the Amazon mistress dominatrix.
Okay. You weren't going to talk about Mari Mokori at all?
No.
Oh, man. I thought that was the reason I wanted to do this episode. But I'm going to save that because I got one more thing before that.
Okay.
So there's a mascot for Nara City called Sento-kun. Did you see him? You must have.
I'm aware. I didn't know it was controversy. What's the controversy?
Well, first, let me give some basics first. So he was created to commemorate the 1300th anniversary of Nara becoming the capital of Japan, then known as Heijo-kyo. So, Paul, what does he look like?
Deer.
He looks like a deer? That's all you got?
I haven't looked at a picture recently.
He's a bald little boy.
Okay.
With deer antlers.
The boy with deer antlers. Is it like a Buddhist, like the bald boy is like a Buddhist reference?
Yeah. Well, it's not just that he's bald. He's also wearing religious garb, and he's got the long ears like the Buddha statues do, and he's got the little dot on his forehead. So it's like a lot of religious references. So a lot of people think that he's blasphemous, but also a lot of people just think he's really creepy looking, and he sort of is because he's like too human. You know what I mean?
He's kind of cute, though.
Yeah, well, you guys can look him up and let us know if you think he's creepy or if you agree with Paul that he's cute somehow.
Kind of cute.
Kind of cute. Sento-kun. S-E-N-T-O. What the fuck? S-E-N-T-O-K-U-N. Sento-kun. Okay. Now we're getting to Mari Mokori. This is the best. I don't know how you weren't going to mention this, Paul. I know I said Hikonyan is my favorite mascot, but this is one big reason that I'm thinking maybe we should go to Hokkaido for our next trip. Because Mari Mokori is a mascot from Hokkaido based on Marimo. We've talked about these in a past episode or two. Marimo are these little algae balls. They're really popular souvenirs in Hokkaido. They like form naturally in a lake or two up there. You remember that, right, Paul?
Yes, I do.
They're really cool. So the name, Mari Mokori, the first part of it comes from the Marimo, the little algae balls. But the Mokori part of the name is slang in the Japanese language for an erection.
Okay.
Paul's just nodding. You're unnervingly calm about this.
I mean, Japan's got a different relationship with sexual stuff than we do here.
I was hoping at least a chuckle or something.
I mean, it's definitely interesting for a mascot, I suppose.
Well, let me describe the guy. So the mascot is a green humanoid thing with a Marimo for a head. Like his head is just a big green ball. But there's another little Marimo right between his legs, kind of a green bulge sort of thing. And to top it all off, he has the perviest grin on his face.
Just a pervert. It's the eyes. I'm looking at a picture.
Oh, good.
The eyes, like, I don't know how to describe it. They slant down on both ends, but like up in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah.
Rosy cheeks.
I just think he's hilarious. And I really want a suitcase full of Mari Mokori souvenirs. I want a shirt. I want a shirt that I can wear to work. That's a conversation starter. So this is controversial, of course, because of its...
erection?
Yeah, that. I saw that when he was first announced, souvenir shops actually refused to sell his merch. But it sounds like people have warmed up to him over time.
If you're popular, you're popular.
We gotta go. That's gonna be the first part of my collection. It's gonna be a room full of Marimokori stuff.
You get a picture with him?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, that's all I got.
I got nothing else.
I think I'm gonna list the names of these mascots in the show notes so that if you want, you can like scroll down there and Google them and take a look at them because they're pretty fun.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Anything else about mascots, Paul? Last chance.
Maybe we'll talk about mascots again, but the corporate type or something. But for now, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, before we go, let's thank our Shogun-level patrons. Kevin Harris, Michael Morris, Brady K., Jack, Shaquette Rosenthal, Pamela Arola, Kevin Phillips, Kelly Ardong, and Eli S. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
And if you're planning a trip to Japan to start your mascot merch collection, you might want to check out our website, sightseeingjapanpodcast.com. We have a travel tools section there with all sorts of useful links and information. We got a packing list. If you don't like eating animal products, Paul has also put together a really handy vegan guide. I've heard a lot of good feedback about that, Paul.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well
done.
That's
awesome. Thank you. It could be a struggle for the vegans, so yeah, I tried to share some of my experience. You got to add one thing to the packing list, though.
What's that?
An extra empty bag to bring back all your mascot merch.
No, you just buy that in Japan.
You buy a mascot bag.
Yeah.
To bring back all your mascot merch.
Oh, wow.
You're a genius,
Jason. That's actually, well, thank you. That's a good way to keep them organized, actually. For each mascot, you get a bag with that mascot and fill it with the merch for that specific mascot.
That's when you know to stop buying merch from that mascot. Oh, yeah. Filled my bag.
Exactly. Well, Paul, what are we talking about next time?
Ooh, the next episode is on the city of Hakodate, which I think is a bit of like an under the radar gem of a city. And yeah. I'm looking forward to bringing that to light a little bit.
Ooh, we could stop there on our way up to Hokkaido for our next trip. That's what we're going to do. We haven't decided.
We might be in the area.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, nice. Yeah, that'll be great. I know they got that star-shaped fort, right? Where the last battle of the Meiji Restoration was fought. Is that right?
I believe so, but I haven't looked into that a minute.
I'm just guessing. If I'm right, you should all be really impressed with my knowledge of Japanese history. If I'm wrong, just forget I said that.
Two cities in very southern Hokkaido, and I sometimes get them confused about what's in which one.
I'm pretty sure Hakodate has that Goryokaku. That's what that star-shaped fort is called.
Okay. I think you're right.
I'm 93% confident in that.
Okay.
Anyway, that'll be fun. Join us next time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you then. Next time. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.